Hello, friends. I'm Shahe Jurgen, back with another article about the eldership. Glenn Osborne is today's contributor. Glenn is both an evangelist and an elder, so he brings a unique perspective on the qualifications for elders. Glenn's article tackles a wonderfully important topic, that of hospitality, both from the perspective of defining it and how we should demonstrate it in our modern world.
Lord, take control, take control.
Practicing Hospitality by Glenn Osborne. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, Romans 12:13. An overseer then must be hospitable, 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:7-8. Elders are to model what is expected of all Christians. They are to live an exemplary life that illustrates the mature, full-grown character of Christ.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. Our study will focus on the thoughtful, practical virtue of hospitality. Peter requires it as obvious consideration, an expression of love for others, 1 Peter 4, 8-9. Hebrews shows this to be a caring priority even during persecution, Hebrews 13, 1-2. The underlying meaning of the word hospitality comes from two combined Greek words, brotherly love and stranger. Hospitality, then, is basically showing of brotherly care and concern for those who are not naturally part of one's personal family, 3 John verses 5 and 6. This meaning is spelled out in Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Hospitality in the first century focused on the alien or stranger in need. The plight of a traveling foreigner was desperate. They lacked affiliation or identification in the community. As an alienated person, the traveler often needed immediate food and lodging. Widows, orphans, the poor, or sojourners from other lands often lacked the familial or community connections that provided a means of making a living and protection. Jesus said,
"When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just."
Luke 14:12-14. In the ancient world, the practice of hospitality meant graciously receiving an alienated person into one's community, land, or home, and providing for that person's need. This was also an Old Testament virtue. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:33-34. The concept of hospitality being connected with lodging or bringing someone into one's home is shown in the example of Abraham, who practiced hospitality to three strangers and was blessed for his kindness, Genesis 18:1-11, and in the potential entertaining of angels in Hebrews 13:2. In the New Testament, three Greek words are used to describe a lodging place or inn. One word describes a place to sleep, such as a guest room in someone's home, or a general lodging place, perhaps even with animals. In Luke 2:7, Mary and Joseph cannot find space in an inn, and Luke describes it as a kataluma, which literally means to unloose or to unharness, perhaps denoting a place to bed the animals for the night, as well as a place for people to sleep. The word is generally used to describe a place to lodge, rather than specifying the particulars of the lodging. The meaning in Luke 2:7 is related more to the idea of a guest room rather than a formal inn. The same word is also used to describe the place where Jesus and his disciples had their last meal together. The setting for the Lord's Supper was probably a guest room in a private home, rather than a public gathering place where rent would be charged and food served. Another Greek word that is translated in specifically describes living quarters in a person's home. The Apostle Paul was housed in an inn while being under house arrest. The word used in Acts 28:23 is xenia, which can mean the general concept of hospitality or specific quarters within a person's home, like a guest room. A third word for inn is found in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10:30-37. The Samaritan takes the wounded man to an inn, Luke 10:34, and provides for his lodging. This time, the word is pandokion, which means a public place that would be more like our present understanding of hotel accommodations, rather than the other two words used in the New Testament for inn. At this inn, the man could pay money to stay overnight and be given food and a place to keep his animal. Public inns existed in Greek times and throughout the Roman period. Hotels today are categorized as being in the hospitality industry. To provide a place for lodging to someone, such as the Good Samaritan to the wounded man, or offering a place within one's home to the traveling stranger, are both considered acts of hospitality. Public inns at that time had a bad reputation in many ways with connections to prostitution and other vices. It is not surprising that the Jews and early Christians recommended keeping an open room for the benefit of strangers. The Jewish tradition respected the example of Abraham, who practiced hospitality to the three strangers, Genesis 18:1-11. Hospitality was a recognized duty from the time of early Bedouins to New Testament times. As we have noted, early Christians were admonished to not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, Hebrews 13:2, and encouraged to be hospitable to one another without complaining, 1 Peter 4:9. Their acts of hospitality were praised. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you, 3 John 5, NIV. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus often brought others into their home, most notably the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the one who lent his room to Jesus and the disciples for the Last Supper, and the family of John Mark, in whose home the disciples prayed when James and Peter were imprisoned, Acts 12:12. Even though the examples given to us in the New Testament often exemplify the behavior of Christians to unknown Christians, the strangers, Hebrews 13:2, could be anyone. Evangelism often emanated from the home. Some Christians historically practiced hospitality to strangers by going to the village well or water source and inviting travelers who were there looking for lodging home with them. This ultimately led to Christians being able to share the gospel with those who would accept the invitation to their home. Hospitality contributed to the spreading of the gospel worldwide. Job, a good Old Testament example of the virtue of hospitality, said of himself, "The alien has not lodged outside, for I have opened my doors to the traveler," Job 31:32. Remember, commercial or public inns at that time did not have a good reputation, so meeting a hospitable Christian would have been a notable blessing. What does hospitality look like today? Since the basic meaning of the word means friend of strangers, then it looks like someone who cares about the needs of an unknown person as much as they do their own family. It looks like the mature Christian widow whose loving devotion to others is evidenced through
having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work.
1 Peter 5:10. Someone who understands hospitality sees a need, then seeks to fill it. For someone out of gas, they fill the tank. They may not be able to have others over, so they take them out to eat. They may not have a lot of economic resources, but what they have, they share. Ephesians 4:28, 1 Timothy 6:18. Even today, they open their homes to those who need lodging. Our homes are not just places to display our property or status, but places of utility and stewardship for the service of Christ. The hospitable elder is one who opens his life and home for others to see him in his own environment. It is a powerful demonstration of humble love that provides an actual physical connection in our digitally impersonal society. Hospitality provides a flesh and blood togetherness that encourages unity and spiritual openness. As a spiritual shepherd, hospitality helps you get to know the people better, and them you. Remember, Jesus said, "I know my sheep," John 10:17. Unrushed and relaxed hospitality lets people know you care, which may lead them to feel comfortable approaching you about other needs or burdens they might have. Hospitality is a necessary and beneficial qualification of an elder and should be an aspiration of every Christian. The grave importance of this need is highlighted in Jesus' words in Matthew 25:31-46.